to Pod of No Return, an in-depth, sometimes humorous, behind-the-scenes tour of real life and a Broadway show with your hosts, Greg Mills and Jeremy Stoll.
Willkommen, bienvenue, welcome, come on in. Welcome to Pod of No Return. We are your host. I'm Greg Mills, and this is
Jeremy Stowe.
There he is. And today, we are discussing the Tony Awards. What we saw, who won, what numbers we thought were awesome, what maybe weren't awesome, maybe numbers and openings and hosts from previous Tonys that we thought were outstanding. We're going to answer some questions from fans that have been given out from the Pod of No Return on Instagram. And we're just going to discuss everything Tony and see how we did.
Hey, Greg.
Yes, Jeremy.
Do you think the Tonys were originally called the Anthonys and we just got really lazy?
Well, I think actually, Jeremy, weren't they called the Antoinettes?
The Antoinettes. Oh, Antoinette, they should be called the Antoinettes.
Yeah, right? Antoinette Perry, is that that's where they're named after? But yeah, we are pretty lazy. So probably in the next 5 years, I'm going to assume we're just going to call them the T's.
The T's, yeah, exactly.
I got a T, you know.
The awards.
Yeah.
I got a T. I got a spinner. Did you win a spinner this year?
A spinner. We'll also have to discuss how the show actually ran. What? They finished like 15 minutes early. And I think that's because
it was
unscripted. They had to, you know, kind of like us, you know, just kind of shooting it off the cuff here. And I think they did a great job with that.
What do you mean? We have a team of writers giving us this great language.
That's right.
I have a guy that writes all the ums and you know what it means. It's for my language. It's perfect.
It's very good.
I love him.
He wrote on the West Wing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He was from the West Wing. His first job was maybe for John Oliver, and then he came over the West Wing, and then we got him because obviously. You know, he went up in his career.
That's right.
Hello. We have some exciting news today, Greg.
Tell me, Jeremy.
Well, you know the exciting news.
Tell everybody else.
Okay, everyone else, we're going to BroadwayCon. How about that? And I don't mean we're going to BroadwayCon like Greg and I have badges. We're going to walk around,
which would be cool.
I mean, it would be cool. Actually, I think we're going to do that because of what we're going to do at BroadwayCon, which is we have a panel. We have a panel called After the Chandelier Falls, and it is going to be on Saturday, July 22nd. It's going to be in the main stage room at 10 a.m. It'll end at 11, and it is a part of the BroadwayCon panels. We are going to be at the Marriott Marquis this year and not at the Javits Center. So BroadwayCon will be right in the heart of Times Square, behind that 120-yard gigantic television in Times Square at the Marriott Marquis. I don't know if you've been to Times Square and you know what I'm talking about, you know that thing is epic. If you haven't been and you're coming, you're going to see it. It is so large. It's really kind of cool. I really want to play Mario Brothers on that thing so bad.
Could you imagine?
Dun, 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 just standing in the middle of Times Square, just jamming. Point, point, point. Oh, it'd be so cool.
Let's go.
But we are going to be there for a panel called After the Chandelier Falls, and we have some guests coming with us. We're going to have Greg and myself, obviously, are going to be in the room, and we're going to be guiding the talk, but we're going to have Laird McIntosh, we're going to have Julia Udine, we're going to have Marie Johnson, we're going to have Elizabeth Welch, we're going to have Sarah Esty, and we're going to have Carl Moe. So we're going to have the Ending Phantom. We're going to have a Christine. We're going to have the Madame Giry. We're going to have another Christine. And we're going to have the Meg and the Pianji, as well as Greg and myself, which are the two greatest Phantoms ever.
That's right.
And we're going to make Laird say that to the public. That's how it's going to go. Basically, we're just going to sit in the room for an hour and Laird's going to go, Jeremy and Greg are the best.
Yeah. I mean,
now you don't even need to come.
We should get shirts made up that say that. Or just one shirt Laird to make Laird. Yeah, make Laird wear it.
Like those shirts that they had in Gilmore Girls. Remember with the black, with the white lettering? He just made shirts on something somebody said in an episode or a day. And it was Now we're going to have one that says, Laird said, Jeremy and Greg are the best. That's definitely going to happen. Yeah. If somebody wants to make that shirt and bring it, I will love you forever. But actually, the panel is going to consist of questions that you're going to ask, but you have to ask them in advance. So there's going to be question, there's going to be a, what do you call it? You can fill out your questions at Pod of No Return. Each one of the panelists are going to have a card on Instagram that they're going to put out there with the link. So you can come in and ask your question, write it in, and we'll answer it at the panel. And it's going to be so fun. You guys have been very great about giving us questions for the Pod of No Return. We've been flooded with them and had to pick the best. And it's not the best. It's just the ones that we can get to in the day. Your questions, keep them coming. We love them. We love that you are so involved in this. And we are absolutely taking your suggestions very seriously, by the way. So keep those coming as well.
Yes, yes, indeed.
We are going to invite our producer, Joyce Belitsky, today to join us because we are talking about the Antoinettes, the Tonys, the Spinners.
The Spinners.
So please welcome for the first time on the show and hopefully not the last, Joyce Belitsky.
Hi.
Hi, Joyce.
Hi, Joyce.
Hello, my loves. I'm so excited that I get to be a part of this episode. The Antoinette Perry Award for Excellence in Broadway Theater, aka the Tonys, are my favorite award show of like the year. And it's not just because I'm a musical theater nut. It's just, I feel like they always have the best numbers. The fashion is always amazing when everyone shows up. The speeches are always just make you want to cry a little bit and call your parents and thank them. They're just, it's just a fun time.
Speaking of speeches, guys, what did you think of Michael Arden's speech?
I thought it was great.
Now, what I'm referring to is when Michael Arden won for Best Director of Parade, he went up there and he made the most beautiful speech about how the show represents groups of people who think they're better than other people. And in reality, we're all equal. And he made a very bold comment that sent the place on fire. People leapt to their feet and screamed, and it was very fun. I think that guy is the gutsiest man on this planet, and he is also one of the most wonderful people. And that comment from him was a beautiful moment in Tony history, as far as I'm concerned, which I'm sure goes maybe to my front door and then that's where it ends. But it was an amazing speech, an amazing comment, full of love and heart. And that is what runs that man.
Yep.
He is a very, very special person. And he is positively one of the most gifted talents.
So talented.
On the campus.
Yeah. So talented. Yeah.
We asked on our Instagram on a Pod of No Return about leaving comments about what you guys thought about the Tonys. And someone commented that they loved Michael Arden's speech, but Ben Platt screaming
perfect
work was the icing on the cake.
Yeah.
Work. Yes. Work. Did you guys have any favorite moments of the Tonys this year? Oh, the silence. Look at you guys thinking
there
right
were,
now.
There were a it's few. Just
like, I don't know which one of the 40.
I like the opening. I really liked that, like, you know, it was that they did something because, I mean, it was unscripted and, you know, the show opened with kind of that kind of comedic moment. But I loved that absolute, that opening dance number was fire.
It was amazing, especially when they went through the building like they did. It just, it didn't all end up on stage. It was kind of all about town and all about the theater. And it was very, very fun.
I don't know how she was breathing through that and singing and unbelievable.
There was a moment on TikTok. I saw someone that was in the theater posted a video of Ariana Lurie, like basically like praying before the cameras, like came into like before the doors opened and they came down the aisle. And they were like that moment, you just pray that everything goes great for you about to do like a completely unscripted show.
Totally. I love when she said it's unscripted, so hold on or fasten your seatbelts or whatever she said. It was perfect. Just perfect. Who is your favorite host, you guys, in the past?
In the past.
Joyce, who's your favorite?
I kind of got to give it to Neil. I feel like every year he hosts, he always like one-upped himself. Whether it was the year he hosted, I can't remember what year it was, but he hosted, he did that closing rap that like Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote for him. Like that wrap-up was amazing.
Seriously? How on earth did that even occur? That one moment, Neil Patrick Harris will be my favorite.
And that was, and didn't that. They show like they wrote that like during the show.
Yeah.
During the show.
The presentation.
And he recited it. Yeah. That's correct.
That is one of the greatest moments.
His opening though in 2013 when he did that Bigger, where he invited like every Broadway show, whether it was of old or the new ones, like that was hilarious. Cause I think I love the reference to the kids on Broadway, because it was right during like Annie and A Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
Or no, A Christmas Story. And he was like, is there a daycare where all of you go? And they're like, no. But that was adorable. Like those are lines you remember from those. So that one was definitely a favorite.
Didn't he do a spot where I think Jeremy Piven got in a little bit of trouble and he claimed he left the show or something, and he said it was because of sushi. He got a little food poisoning of some sort. And then Neil Patrick Harris opened after commercials eating sushi in the audience just to kind of jab at him. That alone, just come on, man. He is the king.
Yeah.
And to say that with Hugh Jackman, James Gordon, and
Rosie and
Ariana and Rosie, that's a big deal. He is the king.
First year James hosted, I mean, like he hosted the year Hamilton like swept. So everyone knew that they were like, he was going to do some Hamilton-esque kind of thing for like his opening. But the thing I loved about that year was he did like a Broadway, like carpool karaoke.
Have you guys noticed that Lin-Manuel Miranda has become kind of the face of Broadway? He's like our ambassador to the rest of the world. In the Tonys, they kept showing him in the audience and showing... Somebody would say something and then they would pan to Lin-Manuel Miranda to see what's his reaction. And then everyone else. Like he is our front man as of now.
Oh, yeah.
For the entire brand. Yeah.
And I mean, I think that, you know, that's part of the reason probably too why they were at that Palace Theater in Washington Heights. I mean, that place is spectacular. I live up, you know, that direction by that theater. But, you know, he's been an ambassador for that place and he's gone in there and had showings of movies and, you know, done all sorts of stuff in there.
Didn't he have a restoration done there? Didn't he have that up?
Yeah, I believe so.
I thought so.
So, I mean, you know.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
He's our goat of Broadway right now.
I think he's the most accessible, though, at the end. Like, he's doing so much writing for, you know, movies and this and that, that you're just like, oh, like, you kind of can't escape him in, like, the nicest way. Like, I've gotten to meet him before, and he's just so sweet and like just so genuine. But you're just like,
he's the greatest.
You're everywhere.
Yeah. So kind. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Well, did you guys find any surprises in the Tonys that you were really couldn't even believe?
None that I couldn't believe. You know, I always think when it comes down to best musical, I feel like at least in the past few years, it seems like when you go, oh, the underdog, I feel like the underdog, not top dog underdog, but just the underdog or the small show tends to not actually be the underdog. I feel like it's almost an advantage, and not to, you know, not knocking anything of the smaller shows, but, you know, look at Strange Loop and then Kimberly Akimbo. These were like the smaller shows that may not be getting as much attention as Some Like It Hot or MJ. And it seems like the trend kind of is that these smaller shows kind of pull off the, what, you know, people say upset, but I don't feel like, you know, it's the upset that they think it is. I don't know. It just seems like the smaller shows tend to have the edge these days when it comes to winning best musical.
They do catch the eyes. I agree. But I don't know if Shucked had a lot of huge publicity and a lot of great feedback. I think it was a great showing, but I don't know if people walked away and went, oh, Shucked, let's go see that. It was kind of, I feel like Shucked is the underdog. I think they have the greatest marketing team on the planet. Yeah. Everybody knows what that.
I was surprised that they kind of didn't get more. I thought because of the marketing and because of stuff I had heard from it, again, I didn't get to see, you know, a lot of these shows, but, you know, everyone said how fun it was and, you had Alex in there and who won and was amazing. And
yeah,
I guess maybe I thought if the small show was going to beat out one of the big ones, I thought maybe it was going to be that one. And I was, I guess I was surprised that they didn't win more.
Do you guys want to go over our predictions and what actually happened?
Sure.
Let's do that. So let's start with best book of a musical. So Greg, you chose Kimberly Akimbo.
Nailed it.
You nailed it. Yeah. I chose Some Like It Hot. And Joyce, you also Kimberly Akimbo. And you guys, obviously, you won that one. I did not win. And I'm sad about it. But
it was just one.
I've never
still
won
the winner,
a Tony
Jeremy.
Prediction party. I haven't
either.
The wiener, maybe.
Hey-o.
Yeah. So best original score, Greg, you thought Some Like It Hot, and I agreed with you. Some Like It Hot. I mean, come on. Mark Shaiman.
I know.
So I know. Joyce nailed it again with Kimberly Akimbo. They won the best score. When best performance by an actor in a leading role in the play. Yeah. I took this straight. I don't know about you guys, but I took this just straight off the street, as in what were people talking about? And in my small group of people, it was Sean Hayes. And they just like, it's something to not be missed. And so I voted for Sean Hayes. Greg voted for Sean Hayes, and we were correct.
And I think too, Joyce, part of the thing with that, oh yeah, Joyce, you went with Wendell Pierce.
I did.
Wendell, yeah.
And I think part of the problem for, you know, the other two guys that were nominated, A, they kind of sort of canceled each other out a bit, but, you know, Top Dog Underdog was so much earlier in the season. And I, you know, people tend to forget sometimes. And
however, but you think about it, like other years that there's been two nominees from the same show, even like when we get to the musicals, we did the same. If you're going to get two nominees from one show, you usually get one of them being the winner. If you're going to pull two amazing performances that are like,
right,
like, or is that just a musical thing? Like, I'm trying to, like, in my head go through like the producers, like Wicked, Hamilton, even like Some Like It Hot this past year. Like, we had multiple nominees in the same category, and
yeah,
one of them pulled it, in at least of those years. Is it just a musical thing, or I feel like I have to go back and do my research and like
interesting post about that.
Next would be
Greg,
actress in a leading role in a play. I nailed that one too. Jodie Comer. Prima facie. Prima facie. Prima ravioli.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's the thing that just keeps on giving. And Joyce, you chose Jessica.
Yes, I did.
Chastain.
I mean, she's a superstar.
And I find this to be wild that Audra McDonald was nominated and didn't walk away with it.
I know.
Is that the first time?
Is that a first?
I don't know.
She's got 127 Tony Awards.
Badass that you are. Your statistic is this is the first time she's been nominated and didn't win after 20,000 times.
It's unbelievable.
And just, I feel like everything she touches turns to gold, and it was, it's a crazy one.
Yeah.
Joyce, what's next?
Best performance by an actor in a leading role in a musical. J. Harrison Gaewon. It was, his speech Woo-hoo! Was so good.
J. is flawless.
I love that.
They're amazing.
Yeah, you were like Ben Platt to get it. Yeah. What happened there?
Well,
What happened, Jeremy?
Here was my thoughts. Ben Platt's, the subject matter of Parade is pretty heavy, and it's a drama. And I people tend to lean towards the drama over the comedies. So I just kind of, I did a little statistical analysis of what was more possible, but I was again wrong. So basically the takeaway from today's episode is, if I have decided who's going to win for the Tony, do not put that on your list because I will be wrong. Yes.
You were right in this next one. I was incorrect.
Best performance by an actress in a leading role in a musical. And Greg, you chose Annaleigh Ashford.
I did. And, you know, part of it is I sort of know her and from Kinky Boots days, and she's just amazing and she's the coolest person. And, you know, Sweeney's like one of my favorite shows ever. And so, I mean, you know, I was hopeful for her. But I had a feeling that Victoria would probably pull that off, especially as the night went on and Kimberly Akimbo kept
winning.
Sort of winning. Yeah. I was like,
nailing it, right?
I was like, yeah, she's going to win this. So And you guys were right.
We were right. Yep. We had Victoria Clark.
Yeah, you did.
Why did you pick Victoria, Joyce?
I got I've seen Kimberly Akimbo, and I mean, like, I think that there's something about the fact that she's sitting throughout the show, she's playing a 15-year-old until she has her 16th birthday. And like, you know full well with, like, she says that my character, like, because of the disease her character has, the average is they live until their 16th birthday. So having to play a character who basically, like, kind of knows her character's future is, like, I feel like the fact that you can keep a straight face during that and, like, not be like, woe is me, and, like, what was it, like, play the character like that. Like, she had this amazing disposition on stage. She, like, you couldn't take her eyes off of her. It was just amazing to watch, and I am actually, like, going to see it again with a few friends, because I was like, you have to see this musical. Also, the musical set in New Jersey. Hello, like, you gotta represent.
I was thinking about the afterlife of this show, and this is going to be the one the high schools do because their drama teacher can now be the lead of their show.
That's right.
Yeah. She's like, it's my chance to shine.
I'll do this with pride.
I love it. Oh, what's next?
Best performance by an actor in a featured role in a play.
You both nailed this.
Brandon Urenowitz. I chose it based on the fact that it was a not only drama, but the most talked about drama in my small circle. But I figured there was some gravity to that.
I saw the show, I don't know, a few weeks ago. And you know, it's heavy. But he was fantastic. And at first I was like, oh, there's so many people. It's such an ensemble piece. And I was like, wow, he was up for the lead actor for this. And I was, you know, kind of just wondering how they picked him out. And then towards the end of the play, he has a moment, and it's unbelievable. And he's incredible. And yeah, it was well-deserved.
Secretly, I wanted Aryan to win because he's a friend of mine and I love him to death.
I know, right? Side story about Leopold Stadt. And I don't know why I'm thinking of this. I was just randomly watching South Park again. And if you know the show, there's a character named Butters. If you know Butters.
Butters.
But I found out his full name is Leopold Butter Stotch. So his name is
seriously
Leopold Stotch. And I'm like, did they do that as a reference to Leopold Stadt? I was like, wait a minute. So
with them, yeah, I would imagine.
I would imagine they did. So I'm like, whoa, that's Butter's full name.
Yeah.
So that has nothing to do with the Tonys, but I just happened to be watching an episode where they had his full name. I was like, wait a second.
That's actually a really fun, that's a really fun little insight, little fact there.
We nailed this next category.
People took time to take, yeah.
Best performance by an actress in a featured role. Yeah, we did. none of us got this right. Not at all. I went with Crystal Lucas Perry for Ain't No Moa. Ain't No Mo. Jeremy, you went with, who'd you go with?
Katie Sullivan.
Katie Sullivan.
Cost of Living.
And I went with Nikki Crawford. You went with
Nikki Crawford. Fat Ham. So yeah, we blew that
one. We lose.
At some point, I will piece it together and release. Jeremy and Greg did this Tony nominations episode that we ended up cutting, but they talked about what they thought certain plays were about, and their synopsises of these plays will forever live in my head rent free, because they were phenomenal. So the fact that none of that category was won is hilarious, because I'm just,
and please know we knew actually, nothing we do, about these plays, yeah. So we were just. Yeah. Totally guessing.
It'll be a bonus episode. I
promise. We just took a big guess. I think
it's going to be a bonus thing we're going to release at some point. But and it's the funniest thing ever. But
yes, yeah, we need more proof that Jeremy's a moron. There we go. So much winning. So we are on to
best performance by an actor in a featured role in a musical.
And you and I nailed it with Alex Newell, Chuck, and a great speech.
Yeah, we did. We nailed it.
Just wonderful.
It was awesome.
It was so
actually,
good.
Yeah,
so good.
Yeah.
And then you know. When Chuck did their performance and Alex was up there singing, you're like, oh my God. Yeah. It's just, it's incredible.
Incredible.
Yeah. And Joyce, you picked Kevin D'Agula, which
I did.
He's the greatest guy. And I wanted so much for him to win an award too, because he is so talented and a writer and a director and a creative, just genius. And
I think at the end of the day, I think like also, but Some Like It Hot, their performance was probably my favorite from the telecast. So I was just like, oh my gosh, like, come on. Like that's, don't get me wrong. I, in my heart of hearts, I knew Alex was going to get it, but I was like, maybe, but,
yeah,
you know, I mean, and yeah. I've been a fan of Alex since like the Glee project. Like I've been a fan since day one. So, like, I feel like it's so well deserved.
And you're right. I think, you know, Some Like It Hot put on, you know, what they presented, I think is so important for the, you know, the rest of the country to see for like when the tour comes around, they put up such a great number. You're like, oh yes, I'm going to go see that. And that's always something you're like, I understand when someone decides to pick like a more obscure number from their show or something, but I'm like, you got to remember about, you know, the people in the Midwest and who, you know, who's going to want to book that in the tours and who's going to come see stuff like that. You know, so I'm like, when they put out a great number, you're like, yes, that's what I want to go see.
Best performance by an actress in a musical since I already started it a couple minutes ago. Now we have to do it.
We failed this one too.
We struck out. We struck out hard on this.
Yeah.
One,
yeah.
Let's see. You had Miles. I had Betsy Talk. Wolf and you and
I had Julia
Joyce,
Lester,
you had Julia Lester.
Oh, a Little Red.
And Bonnie Milligan is the one who won.
Belt and Bonnie, yeah.
Best scenic design of a play, we picked Life of Pi. And I don't know about you, I picked it because for that story and for that, that had to be a Tony Award winning scene, scenic design, or it was not going to go at all.
Exactly.
It had to be the best. Best scenic design of a musical, which, again, I messed up. Isn't that fun?
Well, yeah, I had heard, you know, I heard going into New York, New York, that, you know, they had spent so much money on these sets and they were all hand painted. And, you know, I thought it was funny when the guy that won, he made a speech. He was like, you know, I'm very proud of our team. And, you know, he thanked Hudson Scenic and all this stuff. And he's like, and the fact that we have a completely hand painted set, you know, with real drops and this and that. And that was his speech. And then like the next winner was for scenic design for the play. And it was Life of Pi, which was like all digital screens. And I was like, ooh, right. Wait, who's doing, was that a jab at the digital screen? I was like, ooh. But yeah, that set was incredible, New York.
That set was incredible. It was really cool how you were looking down a whole street in New York City, especially for the sunrise moment that they had in that
so
show.
Good.
It was, they really turned let's call it a 40-foot stage into a entire block long city block, which was so impressive.
Yeah.
And how it moved and in and out and how they used the space. It was pretty darn incredible.
Yeah, it really was.
So high five. Costume design of a play.
Next we have best direction of a musical. And I know Jeremy has been on this boat for
Jeremy
a while.
Jeremy is the president of Michael Arden's fan club. Like he has been since we taped the Tony nominations. We've tried to tape it twice now, and both times Jeremy was just like, no, you guys don't understand though. Like Michael Arden, just he gets into it and he's just amazing. And like, and I was like, okay. And knowing like I should just trust you on this, I still went with. I'm like, no. I'm like, Casey Nicholaw's gonna get it. Don't even like. I'm like, nope. Don't listen. Nope. Both of you were right. It was Michael Arden with Parade.
Michael Arden, yes, and you picked Casey Nicholaw, but
I did.
Yeah, that's okay. That's also a good choice.
But you know, Casey made up for it. Yeah, that's right. Best choreography. Yeah,
exactly.
And we all got that right. Best choreography. That was Casey.
We all got that right.
Which is wild. I can't believe nobody picked, you know, Stroman, because it's kind of like, you know, when Audra's up there, you assume Stroman's got a pretty good chance of winning. So, but good for Casey for, you know, winning that. That's amazing.
Best play.
And again, Joyce missed it. And like, I think you probably did what you did with director too. Like just thinking.
I said it's going to be the underdog.
Go out on a limb. Yep. Yeah. The winner was Leopold Stadt. Yes. So, congrats on best play. And then we have best musical, which, you know, I went big, go big or go home. And the big show did not win again this year. And the little show, or the smaller show, I won't say little, you guys both picked Kimberly Akimbo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that with a smaller show like Kimberly Akimbo winning, it's going to do more for the new shows that are going to be coming through for this upcoming season versus like Some Like It Hot was, you know, you had people like Mariah Carey jumping on to be like, yes, I want to be like a producer on this because it's people thought like this big IP and it had such a great kind of response at the beginning that like if you look at the list of like who's producing on this, it's crazy versus a smaller show like a Kimberly.
I do. I mean, I think anytime one of these smaller, again, we keep calling it a smaller show. I guess it's a smaller cast. It's a more intimate story. It's not as big, you know, dance number and glitzy and all that stuff. I think when they win the Tony Awards and all the other awards, I think it at least encourages people to, producers to produce these shows that maybe they wouldn't push through because it's not a big spectacle or something that's going to possibly be the big money maker. I don't know. I don't know how that whole side of the business works, but it seems like there's something to it when these smaller shows win. It encourages the other small shows to get made and come in, and it can only help them with ticket sales and the life after Broadway, because I feel like some of these shows don't, even if they win the Tony, sometimes it may extend their life a few months or through the summer, but then, you know, they still don't seem to last as long as some of the big shows who know they're going to sell tickets.
On Broadway though, yeah. I think that producers look farther forward than we give them credit for. I think when they bring a show into New York, that is the least of their worries for success. They want to get some awards and they want people to talk about it, but I think they're thinking about the tours right off the bat. They probably think that if we run in New York for a year, that's great, but we can sell these tours for this much money because the cast is this big. I think they've already run all of those numbers.
Right.
And they're hoping for success in New York a little bit so that can happen. And even I know from experience that even when they fail in New York, in America, there are markets around the world that they sell to. And eventually some of these shows make quite a profit, especially to Germany. Germany buys a lot of the shows that we don't necessarily love or that don't do well here. They do like them and they do pretty well.
And there. David Hasselhoff stars in all of them.
That's right, David. Yeah. It's true. Yeah. They have a,
but no, I do wonder, like some of these shows, you know, like some of these other shows that are maybe smaller ones that wind up not winning Tony Awards or enough Tony Awards, you know, it'd be interesting to see how many don't wind up with a national tour or, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you know, I'm just thinking in the past recent years, some of the smaller shows that have been nominated for Best Musical and haven't won, like, did they go on and have a tour? Did they mount a tour? Or were they like, that's it?
Some have tours. Some give the rights out in every high school in America does.
Exactly.
And they make the money back doing that, and which is wonderful.
Because was there a tour of Be More Chill? Did they send that out? I'm just thinking that's off the top of my head. That was a smaller one. I don't think.
You know, that's a great question, bud.
Was that last year against Strange Loop? Or was that 2 years ago? I was just,
again, good question.
Yeah, I don't know. Just like those shows, like did they go out and tour? And I just wonder if, you know, awards impact that. But
so moving on to best revival of a play, Joyce is looking that up for our information. Best revival of a play, it was a complete strikeout for us.
Yep.
We all chose A Doll's House, and we're all quite wrong as top dog underdog. The underdog won go. Basically, it was because they were next door to the Phantom of the Opera, and then we just gave them all the winning juju is what happened.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Circle it back to us. That's how we roll.
And then finally,
best revival of a musical. Yeah. What a category this year.
Gosh.
Woo, man.
Jeremy nailed that one.
I did. And again, I went with the drama. You know, Sweeney Todd is dramatic, but it's also... It's kind of just a dark musical, and Into the Woods is great. Obviously it's, you know, the two Sondheims, by the way, and neither of them won, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But I chose Parade because it's the drama, man. You bring the drama and
it's such a good show. I mean,
it's
so tough.
Agreed.
Agreed. And I felt bad that Jason Robert Brown didn't get a chance to speak by the time they got all 800 people up on stage, and then he was the last one.
Right.
And they're like, "Time's up," and he was like, "I'd like to," and that was it. And I was like, "Oh my god!" My wife nearly ripped the TV off. She was like, "What?" She's like, "Let him speak."
But it was a transfer, right? As Into the Woods was. It was a transfer from City Center?
Yeah.
Is that where Parade came from?
Yeah.
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 So they're basically, City Center is crushing it right now, where the paper mill has been for the last many years. Their City Center is now...
They're just printing their own
crusher.
Tony Awards. Yeah.
So Be More Chill actually premiered in New Jersey in 2015, did an off-Broadway run in 2018, went to Broadway in 2019... their official open was March 10th of 2019, and then they closed after 177 performances, June 20th of 2019. They did an off West End run, then a West End run, and then they were supposed to do a run in Chicago, but it was canceled. And then there's a Japanese performances that started in 2022. In 2018, though, they were going to turn it into a movie that never came out. I don't know if it's still in production or not. But it never had a tour.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
We also have to consider the fact that they had their life spanned over the pandemic, right?
Exactly.
So that was a big crusher in the middle of that. If anybody survived that, I don't know how.
Yeah.
It's not a fair assessment, because it wasn't a fair playing field for them.
Right.
But let's go on to some of the questions. Joyce, what were the questions people brought in this week?
We had some people ask. Everyone, thank you for your comments and your questions and your guest ideas. We hear them all. I present them all to the guys, and we're going to make them all happen. Question said, doing a show on the life of an understudy when you don't have an actual ensemble track in the show, do you go to the theater every day regardless if you don't hear by a certain time that you're going to go on or not? And if there is a time that, like, do they let you know by, like, intermission you can leave? Or, like, what are your, like, what happens during that kind of day?
So are they asking about a standby or a cover position? Because there's different positions.
It just says the life of an understudy.
Standby is an understudy. Okay, so an understudy, that wording would suggest that the person is in the show and an ensemble member, so they would be in the show and then go on for the part. If they're talking about a standby is generally, I know that they use a standby. We have used standbys on occasion during the pandemic, but for the most part, standbys are to be near the theater and check in and have a phone if they don't have to walk into the theater and say hello and then go to dinner next door. But they have to be ready to be in a costume in moments, which means they have to be near. They don't necessarily have to be out. And then
correct.
When they can leave is at the discretion of stage manager, basically. There's a certain point in the show where the person just has to stay no matter what, then they can leave.
Yeah.
But if there is a point in the show that somebody can be swapped out, they've got to stay.
Right.
Even if that's for the bouts.
And for like me, for a swing, I still, show up. I'm there every day, whether I'm in the show or not. Sometimes I get notice mid-show if somebody's sick or injured. Sometimes they'll let me know half an hour or an hour before the show. If it's an ensemble track, principal track, a few hours before. And typically, at least for Phantom, like Jeremy said, the stage manager will kind of assign a time when you're allowed to leave early if you're not on. Basically, when they wouldn't need you to jump in for anything, if they could finish a show without the swing jumping in. For me in Phantom, I could walk out the theater on no butts when the Phantom said no butts in the fire chief scene. So that was kind of Scott and my cue that we could head out of the theater.
For the swings, right?
For the swings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking in Phantom, there were moments when if somebody was on vacation, for instance, Elizabeth Welch, who was the understudy for the Christine, they always needed two Christines in the building at the same time. So if Elizabeth was on vacation or was out, they would call in the other Christine to sit in the office. Julia would be in the building. Or if Julia was on, Emily would be sitting in the office for the duration of the show. So that way we had a redundancy in the cast and we could fill that requirement should it be needed.
Yeah.
What's the next question?
Next question. I actually love this question because I think I've sent them to you guys, but have you ever watched a bootleg of yourself and what's your opinion on them?
The answer is very much yes. Greg.
Oh yeah.
Do you want to fill this one in?
I have. Yeah. I have. I don't love watching myself, but I prefer a bootleg like that in a show compared to just like some random iPhone video of me singing in my bedroom or something. But it's cool to watch. I mean, you know, you can learn a lot from it. You're like, oh, I do that, or oh, I sound like this. Because sometimes, you know, what we hear on stage is not what we're hearing. You know, what is coming
it's
across.
Not what's picking up into that microphone.
You're like, oh, wow, that sounds a lot more alive in the house. And so you're like, okay. So it's kind of cool to see. It's neat to have a part of history and then to be like, oh yeah, I can, that's cool. I feel decent about that.
Yeah. It's not nice that they exist, and it is nice because there is documentation that we existed, right? There is our bootleggers at one point got so crafty. I mean, we know that they get on Tumblr and trade performances and come in and bootleg like crazy. We know about this underground thing, but there were some people that were so crafty. They were coming in to do 2 and 3 camera shoots because they would get the box seats and then they would get something in the orchestra and all of them would have a camera on and they would just cut between the different shots in the, with the same sound feed. They were getting, yeah, they were impressive, I would say. Yeah.
I don't it's think so funny ever too, be so I, gutsy to do it. I feel like I would be that girl that would like try and like they'd be like, you, and like kick me out. Like, I'm so paranoid about that. I'm like, no.
But then I don't know how they do it.
I've seen people do it. I actually, when the first time I took my dad to see Phantom was back in October. Jeremy was on his Phantom and I was like, if we're going to see it, you're going to go see it with Jeremy on his Phantom. The man that was sitting next to us was literally during the Phantom of the Opera had his phone out and was recording. And like during intermission, I was with our friend Steph and she literally turned to him and she's like, hi, you don't know me, but can you please send me whatever you took? Like, and he was nice enough and did. Like, he sent it to us. So I was like, yes. But like, literally phone out. And I was just like, all right. But we had those seats on the side where like the ushers couldn't really get to us kind of thing. So I guess that's kind of why. But like, I've also seen like, I just got to see Once Upon a One More Time. And
oh yeah, Britney.
The Britney musical, which was fantastic. I don't know what Carl was thinking.
I hear it's great.
It was great.
I hear it's great.
I want to take you both.
Did they like encourage you to videotape it?
The finale.
Like, pull out your phones.
At the end, they're
the
like...
The bows, bows.
Well, so I'm not going to spoil anything, but they do something really cool during the finale, which I'm so here for, which I think more theaters need to get more interactive. But I was going to say, there was a gentleman a few rows in front of me that literally was like, phone out, and the usher like made him like was like flashing her light and he wasn't turning it down. She like literally asked for his phone. It was like, you can give me your phone or you can leave. And I was just like, wow, okay.
There was speaking of this subject, there was a moment in our last performance of Phantom that made me laugh so much. And that was when we were doing our bows and we had our ending speech and whatever. Everybody in the audience pulled out their phone. So you had the clapping died because there were 2,000 people in the audience trying to clap with one hand. It was sweet. We for a moment, we thought maybe we weren't doing so well because the noise just cut to half because of all the cameras.
It was like that on the 35th also, though. Like, I remember I was in the audience for the 35th and like everyone was like, all right, get ready for the speeches. And like, they brought out a cake and they acknowledged the understudies and the swings. And like, that was kind of it. Like, you're all like, wait, Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber's
not going
to speak.
That,
Cameron's not going to speak.
What like, made that like, last, yeah, really, yeah. right? That last public performance, the Saturday night before we had the,
oh,
you know,
man.
Yeah.
It was insane. So the insane.
30 minute.
Oh yeah. Right. Ugh. Yeah. That was
so
pretty incredible.
One last question.
I think we got time for like three more questions.
I'll take three more if you're going to give me. So currently, taking consideration everything that's on Broadway right now, if you were given the opportunity to jump into any role, what would you pick and why? And you were allowed to gender bend casting.
Wow. Greg.
Sweeney Todd.
I would be here for that.
I mean, I would do anything in that show, but I mean, if you're talking specific role, I mean, one day I would love to play Sweeney. Typically I would say, probably not right away, but with Groban doing it and with my current hair situation, I feel
and
like
your beard.
And the beard, I feel like I just love that show. I love that show. And so that would be the first thing I can think of, but I would do anything in Parade. Jeremy.
I would be a blue man. I don't think I would do a Broadway show. I would be a blue man in a heartbeat.
So you can say you blew yourself?
No, I want to be in the blue man group so bad. I want to stand up there and just pound those songs away and do all the crazy crap they do. I think they're the greatest.
As long as I've known you, you have always loved the Blue Man Group, and they're so incredible. I want you to. You remember I photoshopped that picture? I made you blue. And I made a little photoshop picture of you in the Blue Man Group.
Because I was standing with the blue man and he made me blue.
I want that for you. I want to come see you in Blue Man Group.
Thanks. I want to be in it so bad. Oh, good. What else, Joyce?
Do you guys have any favorite post-show snacks?
Yes.
Beer? Beer, pizza, quesadillas, anything that makes me gain weight. That's the potion.
I've always liked, normally I would just say cheese and crackers. What do you call that now? A charcuterie?
Yeah.
A charcuterie, some olives and some grapes. I've always liked, come home and cut up some cheese and pepperoni or stuff like that.
Yeah, man. Do you ever notice that everything is just basically a version of pizza?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Quesadilla is just like pizza with the crust on both sides. crackers and cheese are basically unmelted pizza.
Yeah.
It's all the same. Yeah. Because it's the best.
It's true. It's very true. And I'll never say no to
cheesy bread.
Dark chocolate raisins.
Oh my God.
I can eat a pound
of
those.
Right? Oh, you know what I eat at night and it kills me? Is those freaking kookaburra licorice.
Oh, really?
Man.
The Australian
I buy a bag
licorice?
Of them. Yeah. The Australian really red. Oh, I love it. And I have one of them and then that's it. The bag's gone. It's over. All right. Last question. Hit us, Joyce.
So since leaving the show, you guys have had a lot more time to be on social media. Do you feel like you've had better fan interactions now that the show is over?
Me personally? No. I feel like I've kind of disappeared from the world a bit. And I don't know, not because I want to, but because when I was at the theater, I had, especially like Instagram, it's all like photo based and this and that. I had things to photograph and put up stuff. And I feel like now, I still have photos. I got millions of photos I could put up there, but I'm like
millions,
but it's like, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure people still want to see it, but it's also, I don't know. I feel like it's just not as current in the moment right now. So I just kind of sit back and I'm a watcher now and I haven't really put as much stuff out there, but
I will say, yeah, Greg, you popped up on my For You page on my TikTok about your like Broadway choices when you had a pick.
Oh yeah, I just did that last night.
You popped up on my For You page. I was like, wait, why didn't I know Greg was on TikTok? And I got so excited and I was like, follow. And then I was like, like listening to your like reasoning. You're like, Phantom. And I'm like,
Yeah, I know, right?
It's a no-brainer.
I know. TikTok's so crazy to me.
And TikTok it's a grind.
Well, I have six videos.
TikTok, so I have
My son's on it, so that's why I joined it. I have like six videos and they were all like, you have 5 views. And then I put up like the last time I was on as Phantom, like my final time I did it. And it was like the last moment of the show. And it's got like 80,000 views. I'm like, what? It's so bizarre.
Yeah.
It's like all or nothing for me on TikTok, but I don't do a lot.
It's the content, right? So for me, I had better fan interactions after the show for sure, because I was releasing a lot of the stuff that it wasn't really allowed to until that moment. And so I got some so great behind the scenes stuff on my Instagram, and people were asking all kinds of questions. It was great conversation. It was fun. But as I was running out of content, it was fading out, and it would the interactions were less, because they're very interested in the show and very interested in the behind the scenes. And there's at one point I took a little video of what it's like to go up in the rafters for the Phantom. And I was going over to the theater and taking some footage as they were disassembling the theater. And that was a lot of great stuff, great content in there. But as it ran out, I think that so did the interest in questions and things. So yeah, for a moment, it was very cool for a moment. And for the next thing in our lives with our new podcast, hopefully some things will start coming in. And after our appearance at Broadway Con after the final Chandelier Falls on Saturday, July 22nd, on the main stage at the Marriott Marquis at 10 a.m., our little, not little, but very giant appearance at Broadway Con. I think hopefully people have more questions, and there'll be some more interactions of more current things that we're doing, because we're not at Phantom anymore, but we are doing other things. And if you're interested in what we're doing, that would be super neat, because I have concerts galore myself.
Yeah, you do.
Greg is the most fantastic photographer on the planet. And so there's more content to be had, more talking. But yeah, so the subjects have to change from Phantom to either Phantom Past or what we're doing now.
And, yeah, exactly.
We have some guests that are going to be coming up on the podcast that I'm excited about. Like, people have been kind of like, yeah, absolutely, we'd love to sit and just chat about things. And whether they were people that were not in the show or that just had seen Phantom and were fans, or just friends of yours that are going to just come pop on the podcast. It's all coming up. So there's some big plans, hopefully, in the works with the podcast.
Yeah, we got some things. Some heavy hitters coming on the show here. Yeah, it's going to be very cool. So, all right, I think it's time to wrap up for this week, guys. It's great sitting and talking to you, and I love chatting about this, and I'm very excited about our up-and-coming Broadway Con feature and some of the other things that Joyce has in the works. Yeah. Please stay tuned for those, because she's busy with some appearances, and there's going to be some really neat things to be a part of very soon. So please keep listening, and please send your questions in.
Please make sure you guys also review on your platform of choice. So whether you're listening to us on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts, make sure you are liking and reviewing. That does help us a lot. Please leave your comments there as well. And make sure you're following us on Instagram. We also are going to be, hopefully going to be launching next week is my plan for it. We are going to be launching our official website with some possible things popping up for people. So definitely check everything out. Make sure you're following us on socials. And thank you guys so much.
See our schedule. And if you have any comments about our last episode where we cast the Phantom of the Opera in Muppets, and if you have any arguments on there, feel free to bring those in. All right, guys. You guys have a great day. And it's
Jeremy. You too, Joyce.
And
good to see you guys.
Happy listening.
Take care.